Okay, I'm reading from Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 32. Mark 14, 32 through 42. And now hear God's holy word. They came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground, and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. The one who betrays me is at hand." Thus the reading of God's word. Now, as a pastor, I'm usually very excited to bring the word to you each week. I study throughout the week, and normally I can't wait to open up a passage to you and show you the beauty of the passage. But there are times, like this passage, when pastors are very much afraid to preach. We're afraid because some passages contain such a holy mystery about them that we fear to say anything that would profane it. And yet we move forward. God has given the church pastors to study and preach. He has attached his blessing to the whole process. And so let's look then at the context of our passage. The Passover meal in the upper room has ended. Judas has left. He is on his way to the authorities to betray Jesus. And so the Lord, with his 11 disciples, begin to walk to Gethsemane. Gethsemane, that word is Aramaic for olive press. There was a small olive grove on the foot of the Mount of Olives containing an olive oil press. It was well known to Jesus and the disciples. When they were in Jerusalem, that's often where they met, and Jesus would teach them. And so Judas would have expected them to go there after the meal. And so he would begin to lead the soldiers to that very location. Now, theologically, this passage raises a number of questions. The first question is, if Jesus is God, how can God be praying to God? And if Jesus is God, how can he say in those prayers, "Thy will, not my will, be done"? I thought God had one will. Don't they both want the same thing? Well, remember, in the one person of Jesus, there are two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. When Jesus prays to the Father, he's praying in his human nature. When he speaks of his will, he is acting out of his human nature, as human beings have a will. And so in asking for his sufferings not to happen, he is expressing horror at what he must do. He's not suggesting that God would actually change his fate. He is expressing how much he wishes he didn't have to do this. And so the Lord arrives at the olive grove, and he leaves his 8 disciples at the entrance. And he takes Peter, James, and John further in with him. These are the same 3 he took up the Mount of Transfiguration. Ironically, these were the same 3 that had boasted at one time that they would be willing to suffer for Jesus, even drink the cup that he is about to drink. Now, as we consider the divine mystery that is Gethsemane, we see the Lord becomes very distressed and troubled. He says, "My soul is grieved to the point of death." The distress and grief he begins to feel was so overwhelming he could barely even survive it. He needs to pray to his Father, so he goes off by himself, but he's still within earshot of the 3. They can hear his prayers. And this raises the key question. Up until now, the Lord has predicted many times that he would be killed. He knew all along his life would end with crucifixion. Yet he has been fairly calm when predicting these things. Even more, after this time in the garden, he seems fairly calm again. And so what is happening during this hour? What is so unique that he feels this way? Well, in Gethsemane, Jesus is undergoing his most fierce temptation from Satan. This is what the 3 prayer times remind you of. They remind you of the 3 temptations from Satan at the beginning. Being in the garden reminds us of another temptation, doesn't it? The temptation of the first man. Adam was tested in a garden. His success or failure of that test determined the fate of mankind. Adam failed. Now we have a new Adam ready to lead a new humanity. He must take a test first, and this test would be much more severe. So what is causing Jesus such anxiety unto death? What causes him to fall to the ground in agony? Well, look at his prayer and we will see. He prays, "Father, if possible, may this hour pass by me, and may this cup pass by me." The hour refers to the hour of his death, his crucifixion. But the cup is the key. You see, in the Old Testament, the cup refers to God's judgment. In Jeremiah 25, it says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me. Take from my hand this cup filled with the wine of my wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it." Do you see? Jesus was not afraid of the physical pain of the cross. Jesus was afraid of bearing in his own body the wrath of God because of our sins. In Gethsemane, Jesus receives his first taste of the rejection of his Father, and it nearly overwhelms him. He is felt filled with intense fear, dread, and sorrow. For eternity, Christ only knew the Father's love, but in the garden, he begins experiencing the Father's wrath. Note that Jesus calls God Abba, Father. Up until now, no one in the Bible had ever addressed God as Father. This shows the unique relationship between the Father and the Son. But note, there is no response to his prayer. No voice from heaven, like at other times. The Father is silent. Jesus is given a preview of the cross in a way that shakes him to his core. The Father here is already beginning to turn away his love from the Son. Isaac Watts was right. And all the unknown joys he gives were bought with agonies unknown. So at the beginning of his ministry, Satan showed Jesus the kingdoms of this world, basically saying, "Jesus, if you ignore the cross, you can have these now without suffering." And here at the end of the ministry, Satan is showing him a preview of the path he has chosen. Are you sure you want to go through with this? This is a taste of what is coming if you stay the course. And so in the garden, we come to a critical moment in the ministry of Christ. Will he change course or will he stay the course? And after getting a horrifying sense of what is coming tomorrow, Jesus submits himself to his Father's plan. Thy will be done. And in saying this, your salvation was secured. But we see Satan tempting the Lord in another way. Consider the sleep of the three disciples. It is often assumed that Jesus needed them to stay awake because he wanted them to pray for him, that he needed their prayers so he would resist temptation. But that's not what the passage actually says. When Jesus leaves the three disciples, he tells them, "Remain here and keep watch." When he comes back, they're sleeping. They're not watching and praying. But who were they to keep watch for? Well, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying so that you will not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Do you see? Jesus is not warning them to pray for him so that he would not fall into temptation. He is warning them to pray for themselves so that they would not fall into temptation. Remember what is happening at this very moment. A Roman cohort, which is anywhere up to 600 soldiers, was on its way to the garden. It wasn't Jesus who was afraid. The disciples needed to pray for strength that they would not deny Christ from fear. But instead, they were sleeping. Normally, we would understand why they slept. I mean, it was about midnight. It had been a very long day. They would be exhausted. But if they really believed Jesus, if they really believed he was going to be arrested and that they were in danger, they wouldn't be sleeping. They would be praying for help. The point is, they had not believed Jesus' warnings at all. He said they would be arrested. He said he would be arrested and killed, but they don't believe anything will happen to him or them. After all, Jesus is God's deliverer, and he has power, so they are safe. But if they had believed the Lord's warnings, they would be awake, they would be praying for themselves. The Roman soldiers are so close to the garden that at the end Jesus says, "Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hand of sinners." And so at Gethsemane, Christ begins to feel separation from his Father that would culminate on the cross, and he can barely stand it. Then he sees the three disciples he spent years with. They still do not believe his warnings. Satan would be saying something like, "Not only will you experience agonizing separation from your Father, taking on his judgment, you are going to undergo all this for them? Look at them. They don't even believe you." One commentator, Golden Hayes, writes, "No man will ever be capable of sounding the depths of what the Savior experienced in Gethsemane. All we know is that the Lord was given a sense of the horror of the cross. He looked at his weak, sleeping disciples, and he said, 'I will take their punishment because I love them as the Father loves them.'" And so here in the agony of Gethsemane, Jesus, the new Adam, commits himself to suffer the penalty due to his people. Not because we deserved it, but because God loved us. Now, one more note before we close. The Apostle Paul in Romans 8 wrote that because Jesus paid for our sins, we now can call God Abba Father, just like Jesus did. That means that because our sins are covered, we are safe with God. We will never be punished. And therefore, we are invited to bring our agonies to the throne of heaven, just like Jesus did. And so do not cheat God out of what he accomplished. When you need to pour out your heart, express your angers, your fears, your worries, your doubts, don't first go to others or even to strangers. Go to God in prayer. That's one of the reasons Jesus did all this, so that he would have communion with us at the deepest level. Let us pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this holy passage and this holy moment where our Savior was tempted like never before to give up dying for our sins. How we thank you, O Father, Son, and Spirit, that you fulfilled your wish that we would be forgiven and know you forever. Thank you for our Savior, what he has done for us. And then help us, Lord, to take advantage of the relationship we now have with God by bringing to you in deepest prayer our needs and wants. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.